Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every week from a punting perspective. And I am your host solo tonight for the round 20 preview, as well as some round 3 origin reaction. Clarkie is still seething from that Titans-Dolphins result on the weekend. No, in fact, poor bloke has come down pretty crook. Crook as a dog. So crook as anybody who basically went against any of our origin tips for the series that's just ended, because Clarkie and I both had Queensland as underdogs in game one. We had Queensland in game two. Most people saw that one coming. And then we both had New South Wales in game three. So hope Clarkie gets better. I'm going to have to make do on my own. It can be tricky kind of steering us through all these games and graphics and getting your questions and comments up on the screen, but I'll do my very best. So please bear with me, guys, and please interact as much as you'd like to. And let's talk about the game last night, as well as let's look forward to now kind of the final third of the regular season and 7 games for us to preview. I'm going to share some best bets straight off the top. But starting with the origin last night and just our most recent results, I said it on Tuesday, I don't enjoy tipping against my state. I'm a proud Queenslander. But when I do, or when the Tripod does tip against Queensland and tips New South Wales, we've actually never lost in 9 years. And I can think back to this year, only best bet was New South Wales in game three, and they won by 14 points, you can see on the screen. Same story last year. We picked New South Wales for a best bet only in game two, and they won that by, 30 points? So I remember tipping them in game two 2020, and they won that by 20 points. I know Alexi tipped the Blues when I was overseas in 2019, and he had a -6 in the decider in 2019, and that was the game where Teddy scores the winning try and New South Wales kicks the meaningless conversion, and that ended up a push. So that's as close as we've gone to being wrong, because we had them underdogs 2017 game one. They won by over 20 points. 2016 game three, if I recall, was a dead rubber. We picked New South Wales and they won that. So we've actually done well. We've gone against our state. It's not that much fun to cheer, but you'd rather be cheering the winning bet than I guess, being on a side that suddenly didn't seem to have so many answers last night. We'll talk quickly about what we picked up from that game and the series at large. Other results, I'll be the first to acknowledge that I don't really believe in form in punting, but let's just say we've had a good few days. When you bake in last night, you go to round 19, we won our third straight mixed matchup. We won another same game multi, 525 odds. We won additional multi, 663 odds. Both the best bets, and then, picking New South Wales for the upset. I would say this would be a shorter pod than usual because you just got one man barbecuing alone, but because we're going to cover Origin as well, that'll add a little bit extra. But before we get into that, I won't make you wait any longer for my best bets. As I mentioned a moment ago, I've got 3 of them. Maybe I tell a lie. Maybe I will make you wait a moment longer because I've got a graphic for the best bets that I do want to bring up for on the screen, and that will be up momentarily. But my first best bet is going to be the Roosters on Saturday night, the SCG playing the Storm, +4.5 at $1.90 on TopSport. So as I say, the Roosters are at home. They're also off a bye. You've got Swalee, you've got 2 Smiths, Billy and Brandon returning. I definitely assume Teddy and Lindsay Collins should back up. I mean, Melbourne have key players that would also need to back up. So there's risk on both sides of the equation there. And I'm not even saying that Melbourne won't be bang up for this game, but I just think this is season on the line. This is season defining for the Roosters. If they've got any shots kind of left to fire this year, I think that they're going to give a great display. That's going to cover my face a little bit, the best bets, but that's all right. Saturday night, I just see it as a truly, really even game and a great game. So I've got to take 4.5 points. And then as you can see on the screen, then I'm going Cronulla, just $1.88 straight up just to win in New Zealand. That's also on TopSport best price. And I feel like this is a massive test of Cronulla. This is a team that came second on the ladder last year. They're running third right now. No origin disruption, no major injuries to make excuses for. I mean, is this team just a total pack of frauds that can only beat up the weaker competition and never challenges anyone in the top 6? I mean, if that's the case, they might get rolled again here. But I've seen enough out of Cronulla to know that they're a strong side. They're a complete side. They're well coached. You can say the same things about the opponent, New Zealand. I don't think it's going to be an easy game. And in fact, it was really memorable last time these sides hooked up. But I think that that revenge that Cronulla might be seeking is in our favour in this bet as well. And I just really feel Cronulla's going to go and actually be able to put in some signature wins at some point, beat some good opposition, and will be on a mission in this game to do so. And I do think that Cronulla is the better side overall that will come in and overcome that Mount Smart home advantage and get the win there on Sunday afternoon. And then Sunday night, bring it up again on the screen there. I'm going to lay the points with the Parramatta, -8.5 at $1.90, Ladbrokes and Neds. So in fact, all three teams that I like this weekend lost the first matchup this season. But I think that that degree of revenge is in our favour. And Parramatta are in a good spot, I think, because they're coming off a sizable defeat, but it's very excusable. And now you add back in Gutho, Moses, RCG. And I know that Titans are getting key players back as well, but they're just not on the same level as Parramatta. And the Titans, coming off a deflating defeat, would really have to summon one of their performances of the season, I think, to hang with Parramatta at CommBank in this one. I don't see it happening. So I reckon more likely Parramatta makes this a long afternoon for the Titans. I do tip a double-digit win there. I'm happy to lay a single-digit line. I'm going to have a mixed matchup later on. We've got an anytime try score tip from Nicole. But let's talk Origin first of all, and I will also bring your comments in. I appreciate your thoughts as well and what you learned last night. I'm going to start us off by actually giving the man who's not here a big rap, Clarkey. Okay, well, I remember when we previewed game one and Clarkey and I both said we thought Queensland would win. Queensland was a slight underdog of 1.5 points. And I always read all the comments, good or bad. But one of the comments was like, this is the most biased preview I've ever seen. There's no point watching it. Of course, Clarkey just tips his team every game. Two Queenslanders just tipping Queensland. You know, it's not objective at all. And I said, well, look, Clarkey may, you know, admit that he has bias and that he is very passionate about his teams, but I will tip against my team. You've seen it time and time again. You saw it, right? I've just talked about it multiple times in Origin. Begrudgingly, I've tipped New South Wales, but we were both right. You said Queensland was the right team to pick in game one and they were underdogs. And then you go to game two, we both picked Queensland again. Fair enough, they were solid favourites and they won the game by 20 points. But then Clarkey's come back in game three and tipped New South Wales, you know, as an underdog, a pretty unpopular pick. Not only did Clarkey tip New South Wales, he tipped Adokar and Hammer as his try score picks. And you got, what, the second and third tries of the game there? Or, sorry, the second try for each team was obviously Adokar with one of the greatest individual tries you'll see. And Hammer's pretty special as well. He tipped Cody Walker, man of the match, $10 odds there, and Ruben Cotter for the Wally Lewis medal. So you've got to actually take your hat off to him and say you couldn't have really got much more in a preview than that, other than maybe for the same game multi to win. And the reason it didn't, I gave one for each state, and I piggybacked Clarkey's tips, and I took Hammer if Queensland was to win, though I didn't pick it. I knew some people would like to back back Queensland. That didn't end up occurring, but for New South Wales to win the game 13-plus after having no answers in the previous two games of the series is a gut punch. You know, if we were to roll back over this season and play all the same game multis again, we've still done so well. We've won so many of them at juicy odds. So I've got to probably accept that we've had some luck along the way. But I just think how many have agonisingly lost as well? How many have we nailed the try scorer and then the outcome didn't come through and it was pretty safe? I mean, at halftime in this game, either team 1 to 12 was $1.35, and we had both our try scorers in the first half. So we just needed either team to win 1 to 12, and we were winning like a $7 or $8 multi, and we lose again. I guess you could say Queensland butchered a couple of chances late in the game, but for the Blues to win 13-plus, I think that is a bit cruel. On a positive note, Nicole has been a great addition to the show with his try scorer tips. And he gave us Nanai. You had to wait for the final try in game two, but he scored at $4 ATS. And Nicole backs that up with Fifita, $4 ATS to score last night, and he scores the opening try of the game as well. So that's outstanding stuff by Nicole. We're going to hear from him again later today. Now, love to hear just what you guys made of the game. Let's go back to that man of the match who Clarkey picked, Cody Walker. Did you agree that he should have got man of the match? I will say this. He is such a classy player. His touches and the way that he can just, you know, unlock a side of the field and get all eyes of the defense on him and create space for others is really special. And when you look at the Blues' four tries in this game, well, you've got three down the by the players directly outside Cody Walker in Bradman and Addo Carr. And then you got the fourth try. Well, you got the other try is a right wing To'o, but it's as a result of a line break down the left, which is, again, Cody Walker's got his fingerprints on all over it. Not to say it was all Cody Walker. I mean, Addo Carr, once he got into that space, was absolutely breathtaking. I thought Bradman Best was a highly impressive mix of brute force when he needed it and being able to break tackles and being able to get the ball to the try line, but also some deft touches, really showing what kind of talent he has. And it is kind of funny, one of the most maligned and questioned selections of the series was Bradman Best, and then he had one of the best performances. And if you want to go back before game one, you could kind of have said similar about people questioning Hammer. And how could you not pick Gagai and everything he's done? And, you know, and equally, Hamiso has shown himself to more than not just belong in that arena, but excel in that arena. So it's funny how sometimes the players that get questioned the most can be the most impactful. So I definitely can have no gripe with Walker being awarded man of the match. I thought it's funny that in the first two games, a Queensland forward got man of the match. And in this game, I really thought you could have taken your pick of anyone in the New South Wales back line, 1-6. My personal pick would have been Teddy, thought he was massive, but the outside backs, I mentioned Best, Crichton as well. And he, both wingers, To'o's had a great series again. And Addo Carr as well, I thought we're all in the mix. Speaking of Teddy, I'm interested in any New South Wales fans' takes. Like, how much do perceptions change after winning one game and a dead rubber at that? Like, because I feel like absolutely people do look at the Blues differently again. After that big performance by Teddy, I mean, is he back in your side again next year if all things are equal? And is Teddy your captain again next year? Or do you try to transition and give Nathan Cleary the captaincy? And then you can still pick Teddy, but you can also pick Luttrell if he's the better fullback option, or Turbo if he's healthy. Or maybe it's just Dylan Edwards' time. Maybe Drinkwater keeps getting better. Maybe it's his time. Maybe it's Gutho. I mean, you've got so many options. I'm interested which way you go. And then in the halves, you kind of feel like now you have to pick Cody Walker again, as long as he's in, you know, equal form, as long as he's not clearly declining. It's hard to imagine that Luai would get picked back again. But where does this leave Nico Hines and Matty Burton? I'm not sure. Is Murray the 13 moving forward? Really, I'm throwing just questions at you guys, not a lot of answers, because I do think it's fun to speculate. But there's so much that can change in a year, and, you know, with injuries, suspensions and form, who knows? But I would ask the other question being, who's your coach now? Because everyone was talking about who replaces Freddie after game two, where New South Wales played a do-or-die game and didn't get too close to Queensland. But now you get back and win this, and you win by double digits at home in your one home game. And now people start thinking, geez, New South Wales was winning with 10 to go in game one. And, you know, had they held onto that win, would it have been a different series? And, I mean, who knows? We can't, it's hard to kind of play the butterfly effect game. But just getting back to Freddie now, that win last night actually makes him 9-9 from 18 games. He's 3-3 in terms of six series. But as I said before, this one kicked off. He'd been the favourite in every series, including this year. So that's really not impressive stats. And by any measure, that is underperforming expectations. I've mentioned multiple times when he's made curious or contradictory moves, as have others. And so just because you win one dead rubber, realistically, does Freddie get the best out of the players? But if not, then I'd like to know, you know, who does. So happy to kind of hear you guys' thoughts. Just one more thought on the game three. I did think it was quite interesting that historically game threes, especially when they're dead rubber, are higher scoring. And in this game, we had four tries in the first 23 minutes. So that's like on pace for 12 tries. looking like a scoring fest. And in fact, there was only a couple more tries in the whole game, a period of 30 minutes of this game with no tries in the second half, which really meant, you know, we can look back and say New South Wales won comprehensively, but watching the game when it was 18-10 for an extended period of time definitely felt like, had Queensland scored next, they definitely could have run the Blues down. We all know that Queensland had the talent, the ability and kind of the grit to do it. So we could all feel it. So the game was very much in the balance until Queensland blew a couple of late chances. I'm talking about Hamiso fumbled a put down. I think it was off a batted back kick. And Val Holmes, I thought, could have made a play at the ball on the full from a kick, and he spilled it as well. These were the Maroons' chances to cut the deficit, to maybe change the result. But also, these ones hurt me because, as I said before, my same game multi, $8 at Okada score, and New South Wales 1-12, and they really had to win by 14. Are you kidding me? I mean, at least we won the best bet, but that hurts a little bit. And then man of the series, Clarkey gave you Cotter. I did hedge my bets and say Cotter or DCE, but I said Cotter if New South Wales wins. He had his nose in front, and no Queenslanders polled votes last night because you couldn't say, you know, any Queensland players were among the best three on the field. So Cotter got it, very deserving as well. Look, let's give the last word on Origin for the year to Tristan from Top Sport, who will let us know how the bookies fared, but then we can set our sights back to round 20.
G'day everyone, Tristan here from Top Sport, and we had a big turnaround in the Origin result there, with New South Wales getting the result there last night to get the series back to 2-1. It was a pretty even betting option where there was a little bit of a push late for New South Wales, like it has been all series to be fair, and there was a strong push towards the unders late as well, which at half time I thought we were in a pretty strong position with so many points, but then obviously the scoring slowed down in the second half. This weekend is one of the trickiest weekends to price up. There hasn't been too many massive moves yet, but there's got to be some real watches on the Panthers team list. Obviously, also there's some Titans to back up, the Broncos to back up as well, and then the Storm Roosters game you'd expect will move quite significantly. And then we've got the Sean Johnson news to throw in away from Origin as well. So really keep an eye on the team list. We're going to be monitoring that and obviously making the moves as we get closer to game day. The man of the match, obviously saw Cody Walker. He was quite well backed as well last night. So there's been some interesting betting propositions over the last couple of days. And good luck if you're having a bet over the weekend. And of course, gamble responsibly.
Thanks, Tristan. Thanks to everyone shooting their comments through. Seabold next, coach. That's a bold call there from JK. Let's move on to NRL round 20, shall we? We just got the one game Friday night, and the Knights host the Tigers, and the Knights are 10.5 point favourites. So Gagai is back. Best and Saifidi are reportedly likely to back up. The Tigers didn't have any involved in Origin 3 with Yuto Kamano really well rested for Origin 4. They do get back a huge inclusion in Coruscant. Earlier than anticipated from that broken jaw. Twoll returns from suspension, and Will Smith remains pairing Wakeham in the halves. My first thought about this game goes back to that encounter between these two sides. I want to say it was round 2 where it was pretty crazy. The Tigers were favourites, and Ponga was knocked out 5 minutes in, and the Knights had to endure at least one, if not two, sin bins. Then a send-off, I think it was Jacob Saifidi as well, sent off in that game, still hung on and won, which is pretty typical of how West start this year. They really struggled at the beginning of this year. As we know, West were the last team in the competition to register a win. And then you kind of felt like a few weeks ago, West had maybe turned a corner, some of that 2023 optimism looking justified, and West churned out a decent run of results, but then injuries recently has sort of derailed the Tigers again, and some ugly results have followed. But when you talk about injuries and the impact, you know, the most impactful injury West have sustained this year was the loss of their captain, Coruscant. So now he's back in. You can't expect, of course, he would be 100% sharp or match fit, but it's still big for West. And I want to also note, as I did on the recap, that 24-point loss to Cronulla is a bit deceiving. The game was closer than that, and the Tigers do have some talent. You know, especially in the pack, I think is arguably as good as Newcastle. But I guess where I see the edge and the advantage to Newcastle is probably their back five. I would say each and every one of them are firing. And obviously Gagai, you can't say Gagai's career best form, but the others you probably can say they all are. And Gagai still actually had a good year despite being overlooked for Origin. And if anything, playing with a little bit of a chip because of that and returning this week as well is still a big addition for the Knights. You've got, you know, this side is at home and has played a lot better at home this season off a bye as well and off a 66-0 kind of statement win. And another thing about Newcastle, which is probably under the radar, is that a win here would at least momentarily pull them within 1 point of the top eight. So I don't think Newcastle makes the eight. I'm sure none of you guys think Newcastle makes the eight. Had they won a couple of those close games earlier in the year, it could be a different story. But Newcastle probably still believes they can make it. You should. Anyone kind of worth their salt is still going to believe it as long as they're mathematically in it. So that, you know, means that Newcastle can't afford to let a game like this slip where it's, you know, it should be a matter of taking care of business at home. So, and I think Newcastle will do that. Just for me, it's like double-digit line. Whether the Knights cover the line, to me, comes down to whether the Tigers can hang in there late and make a tight game of it, which they could, or do the West kind of let go of the rope late in the game, as they did last week against Cronulla, and a game that was a six-point game ends up 24 because once West realised it was out of reach, they pretty much folded up like origami. I'll make one other note that usually Friday night I go for my better multi, but because I have a stronger opinion in the Saturday night clash, I think it's an even greater game in Roosters Storm, I'm going to save the same game. So look out for that Saturday on social media or on the Better app, and I'll talk a little bit more about that soon. So moving to Super Saturday, we have the Bulldogs at Belmore, 7.5-point underdogs hosting to second place Brisbane Broncos. And Addo Carr was taken off with 3 minutes to go, maybe precautionary last night, but it does sound, I think I've heard, hamstring twinge. I would say highly unlikely you'd play Addo Carr because, you know, making him back up after 3 days with that soft tissue scare and with the form of Blake Wilson on the wing. So if you look at the team list, because of how good Wilson's going, he was going to get the wing start again this week and they were going to move Kiraz to the centres. But I think Fox is going to be out and then Kiraz goes back to that wing spot and you just bring Alamotti back in. Sexton's in again at 7 and obviously Burden in at 6 after a good win against Souths. Yes, it came with a scare at the end, but it was still a really good response to Canterbury's lowest moment of the year against Newcastle. As for Brisbane, well, they're off a bye. They make a rare trip to Sydney. They do it without Haas. And this story has just broken the last few hours, which I won't even get into because I feel like I need to read more of the information around it. But it sounds like official that he's at least going to test the open market, whether that means he wants to leave Brisbane or just that he wants them to pony up and he would still stay for the right amount of money. It's kind of fascinating when you know, there's been that speculation around Tino and David Fifita. There's quite a lot of really talented, really impactful, young rep forwards that are all, you know, deservedly would command some of the biggest contracts for forwards in the game, you know, potentially on the open market, whether or not it's all true and it comes to pass. Haas wouldn't be able to negotiate with teams till after November, And I'm not really saying that's going to disrupt Brisbane. I'm just bringing it up because it's pretty interesting. It's always interesting when star players, you know, could be changing teams. We know he's not available in this game. The player we don't know about, I guess, is Pat Carrigan. Played just under 60 minutes last night for Queensland. He's named in the reserves for Brisbane. I see him like 50-50, and I think this is actually a pretty important game for Brisbane. And with, you know, Flegler being out, Ricky, I would actually lean towards Carrigan backing up and playing here. That's going to keep me off the Bulldogs. But I won't play Brisbane. Last time Brisbane played, I was against them when they were up against the Dolphins because right now, Brisbane's vulnerable. You know, obviously, Reece Walsh is still suspended. Corey Oates was set to play his 200th game. He's picked up an injury. Capewell does return. And look, Saylor is a good replacement fullback. But Brisbane's, yeah, it's a little bit depleted. It is hard when you don't know the status of Carrigan. But I think this could be an entertaining game down at Belmore Oval Saturday afternoon. So I am not touching it, but could be a few tries, which would bode well for this man, Nicole, who actually is going to weigh in with his anytime try scorer tip on this matchup.
Hope everyone enjoyed their night watching State of Origin. Nailed my try scorer pick with you guys with David Fifita getting out, which is awesome. Look, if you Google Wiki Linktree, guys, you'll see the odds comparison tool that you see on your screen. I know Winnie likes using the term asymmetric risk. Well, Karaz is named in the centres for the Dogs, but with Adokar's injury, he should play on the wing. He's about $18.03 for first and any time on Dabble and Top Sport. So if he's named on the wing, that becomes incredible odds. Good luck, guys. Google Wiki Linktree to find all our stuff. Gamble responsibly and enjoy the games of the weekend.
I do love the term asymmetric risk, and I had that note already even before I saw Nicole's video that it seems logical to me that Karaz will slot back to the wing. So that's a great price about Karaz. I definitely would co-sign that. Dabble or Toppy said there. Anytime or specific moments of the game as well, if you can get extra juicy odds. We got him last week in our same gamer that got up, so I'm a big fan. Much more talented Jacob than I am. Let's move to the Twilight game on Saturday. Manly, 3.5-point underdogs hosting North Queensland at Four Pines. So DCE and Gerbo are named. They're going to be monitored. I guess, you know, neither of them are spring chickens. Whereas the Cowboys overall have a younger contingent, but more players that would be required to back up Holmes, Taulagi, Nanai, Robson, and man of the series of Reuben Cotter. They are all named and expected to back up, but of course, you never know for sure. You've got both teams coming into this off a bye, and what makes this one super intriguing as well is this is 10th hosting 9th. So we know how fierce the fight is for the finals this season, and that's what makes it such an enticing game. And that also increases the likelihood that those rep players would play, because clearly these sides don't have the luxury of resting anyone at this point. I think the Cowboys will win it. I know the Cowboys are the better team. I know most people will agree with me and will tip the Cowboys, but I don't want to overlook home advantage and, you know, the travel factor favouring the Seagulls here. And the Seagulls kind of have the capability to win a game like this. It's just more so that Manly's been inconsistent this year. And when I look a bit closer, I feel like they've had their worst performances when Jake Dvojevic hasn't played, whereas when Gerbo's been in there, by and large, Manly's been the forwards, the whole pack has aimed up more so. So you're expecting Jake to be there in this game, which would help Manly, but can their pack win the battle against a North Queensland side that, you know, is almost certainly lines up on Saturday with either Reuben Cotter or Taumalolo on the bench? Just to give you an idea of how strong they are right now, it's crazy that this side, in a way, is outside the eight. We know they just couldn't get it going earlier in the year, and now they're one of the form sides of the competition. And look no further than the Cowboys' last performance, which was 74-0. I know it was against pitiful West. It was still impressive. It's funny for me. I don't really want to back a team after they just won 74-0, because I don't want to play a team after their best possible performance that everyone saw. But I'm also not rushing to bet against them either, because they could just be, you know, firing on all cylinders. And I think the firepower that the Cowboys have in the outside backs gets them home. I kind of see the Cowboys winning this, you know, competitive game by about a try. So I do lean to the Cowboys. It wasn't strong enough for a best bet, but I lean them with the 3.5 line. You know, I've got a best bet in the next game. Roosters Storm at SCG, and the Roosters are 4.5-point underdogs. It's a great game to cap off Super Saturday. Again, both sides come in off a bye. which at this time of year, I feel like that should only heighten the quality of you know, the contest. And not to mention, when you're giving a bye to arguably the two best coaches of the last decade, so it's like an extra week to scheme to get their team, expertly prepared for one of their best performances of the year, and it's Robinson against Bellamy. And there is a rivalry there, obviously, and there have been a lot of big games between these clubs, including grand finals in recent years. So more often than not, these end up being cracking games. Although the last time these sides played, it's worth mentioning that the Roosters were well and truly shut down and the Storm won really comfortably and the Roosters were disappointed. But at that stage in the season, the Roosters were struggling to score virtually against everybody. And that's where I do think the reinforcements come in at the right time. Swalee and Smith, you know, freak accident a couple of weeks ago rules them out for the game against Manly, and they narrowly lose that. And I saw the Roosters show me quite a lot in that game. I feel like they only lost because they threw an intercept try and because that came a couple of inches short of the try line right at the end. Then Brandon Smith is that X factor. Has not had a great year, but returning from injury successfully via the New South Wales Cup last week, I'm really curious to see how the cheese will be used in this one because Turpin's done quite well at hooker. So do you bring Smith on in the middle four stages of this game just so you can have him on the field for longer? I know he'll play some of his time at hooker as well. I mean, if I look at the lineups, Victor Radley once again has been named at, you know, in the second row, but with Nathan Brown starting lock. But the reality is, you know, Radley could shift back there. You've got other young forwards on the bench like Egan Butcher, CEO Wong, White. So there's many options for the Roosters, and I know that they're going to come up with a game plan that gives them the best chance to succeed Saturday night, because I do really see it as do or die. As for the Storm, you know, it's still a really important game for Melbourne. You could make the argument that if someone like Harry Grant or Munster was sore, there'd be more chance they would sit out than there would be for Teddy and Lindsay Collins. But the Storm are currently sitting in fourth. We know how important it is to, you know, finish in that section of the ladder and how hotly contested it is. So it's equally an important game for Melbourne. And I still remember what Clarkey said 2 weeks ago after Melbourne conceded six unanswered tries at home to Penrith, which was, you don't want to be Melbourne's next opponent. And you kind of cast your mind back to when Melbourne got 45 put on them by the Cowboys. They came out the next week and eviscerated the Cronulla Sharks. So there's a high degree of motivation for Melbourne, who would be smarting as well because they got kind of humbled at home and then had to sit through a bye. So you know Bellamy would have made his feelings and intentions very clear during the preparation for this game. But I go back to the fact that really both sides will be bang up for this. And while the Roosters sit 13th on the ladder and we could dismiss them, and I think I did say it, if they couldn't beat Manly, that might be curtains for them. Realistically, the Roosters probably do miss the eight, but it doesn't mean they've given up yet, and nor should they. A year ago, they rattled off eight in a row to go from outside the eight to, you know, nearly could have actually made top four, and depending on how results shook out the final game of the season. So there's still that belief in the Roosters. There's still that quality. I don't know. It just might not be the Roosters' season, but I'm willing to bet that this will be the kind of game where they can succeed. I don't want to disregard the Storm because there is a big advantage there at 6, 7, and 9. But I do think that the forward packs are pretty evenly matched. I think there's more firepower and more explosive players in the Roosters' back line. And again, we've got the home advantage. And I think this is a game going to the wire, whereas this line is telling me that the Storm are, you know, clearly a converted try better than the Roosters. I don't agree with that. So that's why I've taken the 4.5. I can't wait to watch this game. And if you think a game's going to be a cracking game, you know, more often than not, you've got to take the underdog with the points if you think that they're going to push it all the way. As I said before, this will be our better same game multi. So you can get a better account with the link that is in this show description. We've had an outstanding record this year, lost track? Is it five or six different long odds same game multis we've already hit this year, and we should have got another one last night? But of course, with any bet, before you jump on any bookie, think, is it a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. And that information is also in this show description if you're listening in podcast format. Moving to Sunday, the Warriors play the Sharks at Mount Smart. And I am scrolling through the lines on Top Sport, and so where there should be numbers, it's blank because the game is virtually a pick'em. And you've already heard I've tipped Cronulla at $1.88. So they're favourites by a couple of cents, technically. But we just need them to win that head-to-head straight up there to cash our best bet. The Warriors are at home, though, and it's another game where when I see this matchup, my mind immediately races back to the first encounter between these teams this season, where, if you don't remember, the Sharks led 20-0 at Shark Park and looked like they were going to win by 50. That looked to be on the cards. When you consider that New Zealand was a double-digit underdog going into that, so when you get a double-digit underdog that's down 20-0, the odds of kind of turning that around, it's one of the most memorable in recent seasons, not just this season. Obviously, the Finns 26-0 comes to mind too, but this was right up there for shock factor. New Zealand came all the way back, won that game by a late penalty goal. And it said a lot about, you know, it was a line in the sand for Cronulla to, you know, really improve and to not take games for granted. And it was also a moment that a lot of people kind of sat up and took notice of New Zealand. And the Warriors played last weekend, won far more easily than they did that night at Cronulla, but beat another Sydney-based team in Parramatta. Mind you, Parramatta was very undermanned, but as far as the Warriors go, they got a very impressive victory last week and have no major changes. You will have to monitor Sean Johnson because he hasn't, they haven't had their baby yet. You never know exactly how that's going to play out. But the fact that in Auckland, I feel like the timing and the likelihood that he'd miss the game would be pretty slim, but everyone is still talking about that this week as a possibility. We've got third versus sixth, so another great game. You've got not a single Origin player that involved for either side. As a twist of fate says, Josh Curran returning for the Warriors is huge as well. And I agree. So really both sides are more or less full strength. I mean, Hamlin Wele is in the reserves of the Sharks, so we don't know whether he would be involved, but close to full strength both sides. And I do see these two teams as pretty evenly matched teams. They're both kind of built around their number seven, and that's a player that can create for the team both as a running threat, a passing threat, also a kicking threat too. And both sides have physical outside backs, not necessarily a bunch of superstar names, but they get the job done. Aggressive forward packs, they're both really well coached, as we know. We've noted this year, Webster has worked wonders this year, and Fitzgibbon's been doing it for a couple years in a row and has had the Sharks at the top of the ladder ever since he took over. Cronulla's issue, as I said when I shared the best bet, is their ability to compete against the best teams in the competition. And if you look at the last five games for the Sharks, it pretty much says it all. Their last three wins, they've won by an average of over 30 points, but it was against Canterbury, St. George and West. The previous two games, Cronulla lost by double digits to Brisbane and Melbourne, you know, the two sides that are in the top four. So I do really see this game as a big opportunity for Cronulla to show everyone what they're made of. Let's call the Warriors a top six level side. When New Zealand at home is one of the toughest assignments you can get in the competition, Cronulla's got no excuse. I just listed who they've played the last three games, throw a bye in there as well. So, you know, energy level is not an issue. They're traveling to New Zealand early. They got embarrassed, honestly, by letting that big lead slip at home to the Warriors. So there's the extra motivation there. And I think that Cronulla can out-tough the Warriors, as tough as New Zealand are. I'm not even, you know, relying on hoping that Johnson's out. If Johnson's in this game, I still feel comfortable. I would still pick Cronulla to win. I just think the Sharks are going to come into this one kind of really on a mission, and I'm comfortable enough that they'll leave with the 2 points. And that's also going to factor into my mixed matchup as well. So we've got a juicy one. When I pick a mixed matchup, it could be anywhere from kind of $2 to $4 odds. Over nearly three seasons, the average winning price has been, it was over $2.50. I feel like it's ticked down. It's in the $2.40 range, right? We've won nearly 60% of them. And we've won three in a row, so you might think I want to kind of protect that and go as close to $2 odds as I can to make it four in a row, but I don't roll that way. I really just try and find the best value play I can, because we keep our record based on, you know, had you had a $100 stake anyway. So it's really about the value, not just the win percentage. I think the results will fall as they may. And I like the Roosters to outscore the Warriors this weekend. So that is paying $3 on top of, you can have up to 100 on that. It's only a $100 max stake when the odds are $3 plus, as opposed to say 200, so that it might be for lower odds. So you can still win a couple hundred bucks on that. Promo code TPLive if you do need a Top Sport account. So that's the early game Sunday. So mind you, you know, it's a day game, and the Roosters will have played the night before, and we'll see how many points they put up. But I really trust Cronulla's defense, and just see the Warriors Sharks as a potential real defensive grind of a game, even though it is daytime conditions. Always chance of poor weather over in Auckland as well. Later on Sunday, less chance of poor weather in the beautiful Southeast Queensland, where the Dolphins host the Panthers. And it's the biggest line of the weekend. It is 15.5 with the visitors favoured at KO Stadium. Finn Diesel is a big in for the Finns, while the Hammer is back as well from Origin and named in the centres again. So that's going to leave Nikorima at fullback off the back of an impressive upset win for the Dolphins. You know, yet another one this season where they were not favoured to win, but they got it done. And the Dolphins had to work overtime to achieve that win over Clarkie's Titans, while the Panthers were idle, having a bye. So coming up pretty fresh in this game, albeit they've got some Origin players that would need to back up. There's also an ominous name in the reserves, Nathan Cleary, just what my Finns need to face. Whether Cleary would play this week, or I don't know, you put that name there just to psych out the opponent, I'm not sure. I would guess that they'd be extra precautious or extra cautious, the Panthers, and there'd be no need to risk Cleary and to play him, you know, if there's any possibility that that would be a premature return from that hamstring injury. And speaking of no need to take any risks, you know, again, the Origin players, Yo, Martin, Crichton, To'o, they are all named, but they were all named to back up from Origin 2 and they all got withdrawn. And I'm just flagging that because it's a possibility that you have to factor in when playing Penrith after an Origin game. However, the fact that all these guys were rested after Origin 2, I think makes it less likely that they would need a rest again. However, because the Panthers are such a big favourite, Ivan does have the luxury to rest one or two if they've pulled up sore or have any complaint or anything like that. So that's the risk you take if you lay the 15.5, you know, early in the week. And that's probably the best case I can make for taking the Dolphins. I'm not brave enough to take the Finns. I do struggle sometimes betting on games where the line is in the teens, because if I don't believe that the underdog has a chance to win, I don't really want to take them. And it's very hard for me to envision a scenario where the Dolphins could win this game. It's off the back of last time I saw Penrith play, I would argue it was the most impressive 50 minutes of football Penrith's put on this season, and they didn't have Nathan Cleary. But the way that they just obliterated Melbourne, I think they're down 14-0, but then outscoring Melbourne something like 34-2. Was super impressive and super scary, and doing that without, you know, arguably the best player in the competition. So I'm not getting out in front of Penrith in this one, and Penrith's not as deep. The Finns are not nearly as deep as Penrith, and depth matters at this time of year. as well. And the Dolphins are coming off back-to-back Southeast Queensland derbies where you already feel like the Dolphins have gone all in against Brisbane and were pretty competitive in that. They led with like 15 to go and then playing 85 minutes against the Titans. So a lot of reasons why it would be a tough task for the Dolphins, and I'm not taking the plus. But best case for the Finns, I said before, is maybe Ivan, you know, just remembers that he's got bigger fish to fry. Pardon the pun there, but maybe not all of the Panthers' best players line up in this one. It's certainly a possibility because you feel like Penrith could win the game anyway. Toppy have pulled the Eels game off the board. And I was going to message Tristan and ask him why, because I believe that you can, I think the Parramatta game, it's not like, it can't be anything too crazy because it's still available in most of the other bookies. Right, so I don't know if Tristan knows something we don't, but I've got the Toppy odds here and I'm trying to scroll to show you that Eels Titans game, and it's like it doesn't exist. But that was an interesting point that I'll find out of Tristan in terms of why it's not available. But I know the line in that game is 8.5 because I have tipped it as a best bet. So just put that on your screen for your reference. Parramatta, Combank, host the Titans, 8.5-point favourites. I was at the first encounter this season because it was the final game of Magic Round. And once again, these two teams meet in the final game of the round on a Sunday night. Parramatta should get their three rep players back. So that is Gutho, Moses and RCG, plus Sean Lane returned from injury last week by the bench, but will start this week. The Titans have named their four Maroons forwards their four Maroons to start. Three of them are forwards plus AJ Brimson, and then AJ displaces Jaden Campbell to the bench. You guys know my thoughts on that. It's extra curious to me when you've got Jojo Fifita, another outside back, happens to be on the bench as well. So we'll see how that plays out. And one important thing to note too is that Dave Fifita got reduced minutes on Wednesday night and is being monitored with a hip complaint. So from my perspective, if you're on Parramatta right now, you certainly hope that Fifita's fine long-term, but might be out this week. I don't particularly want to go up against him, the form that he's been in. So that's a factor that could definitely go in our favour. Twist of Fate asks, what the hell happened with Dylan Brown? I'm not going to go into everything that happened with Dylan Brown, but once the case was settled, I believe the NRL gave him like an additional 3 or 4 games, and I think that takes him through to round 21. So someone else can correct me in the comments. I think Dylan Brown, not available in this game. Arzy is playing 6, Moses 7, but I believe Dylan Brown will be back in a couple of weeks. So as for this game, I think I said this at the beginning, Parramatta is just stronger across the board. For me, I love getting them after they've been smoked by 30, when reality, I understand why, and hence we were on the Warriors last week. And now the reinforcements are here. And I feel like this Parramatta squad, they understand the urgency of the position they're in right now. They are in the top 8, but they are probably the most likely of any side to fall out. And you've got hot teams like the Cowboys, but several others that are gunning for the Eels spot. And if you're Parramatta, you're also not thinking, how do we cling on to top 8? You've got your sights set on climbing the ladder, and we know Parramatta has the ability to do it. So I think that Parramatta can kind of really go on a surge and really play some good footy for this final third of the year. Whereas for the Titans, how could you say that about them? I mean, the players might not have given up this year, but the reality is the Titans have just blown too many games this year. They're not going to be able to make the finals. They've already let the coach go. You've got key players that are under some uncertainty. There's murmurings about their contracts. That could be distraction. And you've just come off a gut punch of a loss where, you know, you've lost at home as a favourite in Golden Point, you know, on a real tough penalty call. You got to pick yourself up. You got to go travel to Sydney, and you got to play last year's grand finalists, who are, you know, full strength right now. That's a tough day at the office, I think. So that's why I'm going Parramatta to win and to cover the 8.5. Thanks for joining me, guys. Sorry, I didn't read out too many of the comments. That was kind of an extra element you might have been able to enjoy if you were watching. I just had too many kind of balls up in the air trying to juggle and hopefully just get across my my strongest thoughts and opinions for both the big game that we saw last night and the conclusion of the Origin series and then the round ahead, round 20, which I can't wait to get stuck into. The Origin is on tonight. Sorry, the under-19s Origin is on tonight. I believe the women's may have just wrapped up, but the men's or the boys' under-19s might be next on, so enjoy that. We got seven games of footy from, have a good Friday, guys, and then enjoy the footy for this final third of the season. Shout out to Clarkie. We hope you get better soon, mate. And just one more thing. Lego.